filmmaker and producer Hilla Medaglia to discuss her new documentary, Mourning in Lud, which follows the fates of three families, Israeli, Palestinian, and Christian, intertwined through a cycle of senseless violence in the mixed Arab-Israeli city of Lud, Israel.
Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
Cat Radio Cafe.
Hey, the cats drink coffee.
The cats of Brazil.
Oh, there's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
That's right.
The time now is 3 p.m. Stay tuned for Black Star News coming up here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
Yes, yes. Greetings. Greetings, sisters and brothers, from wherever you're tuning in. Welcome to Black Star News Show on WBI 99.5, FM New York Radio, also streaming on WBI.org. I am your host, Milton Olimadi, joined as always by my friend, co-host, managing editor of Black Star News, Colin Benjamin.
Comrade, where are you?
I am on the scene. I am location. I am on the campus of Columbia University on Broadway at 116th Street in Upper Manhattan. I wanted to come and see for myself, comrade. I've been reading publications like the New York Post. I've been watching Fox. And I wanted to come and see this raging fire with my own eyes. I think I came to the wrong location. I see, yes, there is an encampment. There are students here who are here for the protest. But a mere 50 yards away on the steps of the famous building, Low Library, I see students who are not part of this protest, who are just enjoying the beautiful weather and reading books, and nobody's chasing them down. Okay. So that is the setting. Sometimes you have to come and see for yourself. Of course, at the encampment itself, I see, let's say, maybe 150 students, yes, they are protesting. They're holding up signs, hands off our students. There are universities left. There are no universities left in Gaza. Cease fire now. Let Gaza live. Yes, these are the kind of signs I am seeing. But I also want to find some students to speak with. And I will ask them some questions, and I am sure you have plenty of questions too. Colin Benjamin.
Yes, yes, yes. Well,
okay, let me see here. I see a couple of young ladies here. Hi. Are you students here at Columbia?
She is.
She is? Hi, excuse me. I have a show on WBAI, 99.5 FM New York Radio, and I wanted to come and see for myself. Because sometimes when you read corporate media, you watch Fox News, you get the sense that people are getting chased around, beaten, kicked, burned. That's not what's happening here. What is going on here?
I have to say, in my time being a student here, this has been one of the most uplifting, peaceful acts of solidarity I've seen. Just an active community. And things are relatively tame. I think, you know, just generally the media wants to highlight, you know, sort of the more, I guess, contentious moments of all of this. But this has been just like a beautiful act of solidarity and community.
So let me run one thing by you. Yeah. Let me ask you, first of all, what is this protest for about? What is this protest for about?
From my understanding, I'm not going to speak on behalf of them because I'm not an organizer. But from my understanding, this is part of QAD community, Columbia University Apartheid Divest. They have a list of demands. And I think one of the top three things that they're fighting for in this is asking Columbia to divest from from organizations that are helping to provide weapons to the genocide in Gaza. They're asking them to disclose, you know, be a lot more transparent about who and what they're investing in. And also offer amnesty to students who have been sort of punished for exercising their you know, academic freedom or whatever. So, yeah.
Did you know any students yourself that have been punished?
I don't know of any students that were punished. I know that I'm a graduate student. I know that they were mostly Barnard students, from my understanding. Yeah.
And what is your name?
Yes, Kelsey.
Let me see if my co-host at the studio has a question for you. Do you have a question for my
Well, ask her what are her feelings regarding...
No, you ask her.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. I want to know what you... I want to ask you about Columbia University President Nima Shafik. I want to know what are your feelings regarding her, you know, bringing the NYPD... First of all, they're apparently in violation of a rule that was put in place after the 68 Vietnam protests. And secondly, why did you see any of her congressional testimony? And what do you think about, give me your thoughts on any of those two things.
I mean, I watched bits and pieces of it, of the hearing. I thought it was surreal. specifically just how, first of all, just like one-sided, which I understand the entire, sort of discussion was, and how sort of it did not paint a full picture of like what has been happening on campus. So it was just surreal to see what it looked like. It was honestly straight comedy, in my opinion, watching that congressional hearing. I think that also, I again wasn't here and I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone, but, you know, calling the NYPD onto campus is exactly what escalated all of this to what it has been. Students have been protesting for months and months and months for these exact demands. And this is not new information. This is not new. These are things that have been happening for a while. Everything escalated from that moment between the congressional hearing and her calling, the police on campus and, you know, you can kind of say that this is her fault.
Yeah, but let me ask you, know, do you get the sense that she saw what happened to the president of Harvard and Penn State and all those other establishments? And maybe she was terrified.
I mean, I don't know the woman, but, you know, there might be a sense that she feels a lot of pressures from a lot of different. She's stuck in a rock and a hard place. And is might be sort of trying to find a way to sort of keep her position. Or whatever, instead of like actually engaging with the situation. So, you know, complicated situation.
So based on your conversation with other students and your own thoughts, how long do you think this is going to last? And what is the ultimate hopeful outcome?
The outcome is exactly what QAD is asking for. They're asking for disclosure. They're asking for divestment and they're asking for amnesty. And until there's conversations about that, I don't think that this is going to stop. So it's probably up to them. Commencement is happening. They're probably going to have to clear out this encampment to set up for graduation. People aren't going to move until that happens. I already know that. And so graduation is in a couple of weeks. There's going to be an attempt to move them. You can see them doing it on the lawn that they were originally on. They're setting up for graduation. And so unless they actually start to have discussions about, you know, negotiations about, you know, what can happen, they're probably not going to move. So, you know.
Any other thoughts?
No other thoughts. And again, don't take anything that I'm saying as truth, because I am not an organizer. You should probably speak to one of them.
Thank you. Thank you so far. Yes, so comrade.
Yes, sir.
Let me see if I can find somebody who looks like they are hostile and don't like what's going on in terms of the protests, and get their thoughts as well.
Okay.
I know you tend to be very one-sided in your reporting.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you are ruthlessly one-sided, so let me find somebody. Excuse me, could I speak to you for a minute? It's just on a live radio show. I don't need your name. I just want to. I'm with WBAI 99.5 FM New York. So I want to get your thoughts on this protest. Could you come closer? Because It's a live radio show. I'm a reporter for the show, and I want to get your thoughts on the. Yes, he doesn't want to speak.
Does want to speak.
But I can tell by his demeanor that he's not supportive. And obviously, it would have been good to get him to say why he's not supportive.
And let me just say one other thing regarding the NYPD.
Well, I look for another student. Yeah, go ahead.
When the NYPD is saying, no, these students, you know, they were well-behaved, they cooperated, it is a disconnect. You're right?
There's oh, you mean disconnect. In terms of what the NYPD was saying and what President Trafik was saying?
Yes. The NYPD was saying, no, they were cooperative, they were behaved. So there's a disconnect there. Right.
So I'm saying maybe she did not coordinate. You know,
she did not. I mean, my understanding is that she violated a rule. A couple of people have reported on this, including Democracy Now, that there was a rule put in place.
Can I get your thoughts on the protest for my radio show? No, go ahead.
No, that there was a rule put in place after 1968 with, you know, the pro-Vietnam protests, where in a similar scenario that she was required to go to the faculty as well, right, before bringing in the police. And it seems clear that she violated that. And when you have the NYPD again basically saying a different thing than what she is saying about the protesters, you know, you really got to wonder. I'm seeing you on mute now. I don't know. So, okay. I don't know. Yes. Milton.
Okay, it seemed like there's some issues going on over at Black Star News, and I see that Milton might have like lost contact, and he's at the campus of Columbia University now trying to give some report of what's going on there, what his perception of what's going on there. And while we get that together, I'm gonna just gonna play a little bit of music, and Colin and Milton can resituate themselves so they can continue on with this program. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online, so stay tuned. look like things are ready. And so I'm just going to bring Milton and Colin back up on the air. So, sirs, peoples, brethren, are you ready to do your show?
I'm here.
All right, go Milton. Ahead.
Yeah, we're on.
Up on 116th Street and Broadway. What is your name, sir?
Elijah Gardner.
Okay, and what year are you?
I am an alumni, actually. I'm a master's
student. Very good. Okay, yeah. So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this protest?
I think it's beautiful. I commute to the city nowadays, so I haven't been able to see what's actually going on. And I just now started seeing a lot of the national news talking about violent protests and, you know, concerns over student safety. But it looks like a peaceful protest to me where I'm standing.
You know, when I started the show, that's the same thing I was telling my co-host, Colin Benjamin, who's not here physically, of course. If you just watch Fox News and you read like the New York Post, you'd get the sense that people are running, chasing others around, or they're just total mayhem. 15 or 20 yards away, some people are just reading books and enjoying the weather. And then, of course, the people that are protesting are here to protest. So what are your thoughts in terms of the coverage itself?
I think that there is a lot of nuance going on in the issues in the Gaza Strip. And I think that we are in a time where it is difficult to translate nuance to everybody involved. I think that we should be doing a better job of understanding everybody's perspective. But I also, by that, I mean understanding the perspectives of the Palestinian strife and the perspective of the Israeli and Jewish history of anti-Semitism.
So you're saying normally there is no violence and people are portrayed as either, because you know why I'm saying that? Because if you Google Columbia protest, you will get seven different media outlets, and all of them have the same headline, pro-Palestinian or pro-Palestine protest. And by implication, it means anti-something, right? So I get exactly what you're saying. You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think that we can have a pro-Palestine protests and have a pro-Palestine agenda without it being anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. I think that the majority of students and faculty who are participating in this protest are just pro-Palestine and not anti-Jewish.
What are some of people that you've had conversation with, whether it's fellow students or faculty?
Well, I in the position that I have here at the college, I see students and faculty all over the place every day for months now talking about the tension that has been going on campus and around campus here in Harlem. And I just try to do my best to hear them out. We try to do our best to hold space for folks who are protesting, hold space for folks who are questioning what's going on, hold space for folks who are anxious during a time where students are supposed to be graduating. You know, students are dealing with their finals and going through huge transitions in their lives. And there's so much strife, and I know that the people here at Columbia University want to do their best to improve the world. That's our charge here as students, faculty, and staff. But we can't do that without listening to each other and holding space for each other to voice their concerns.
Right. What are your thoughts in terms of how the administration, including the president, has handled this so far up to now? Could something have been done in a better way or differently?
It's difficult. We've had presidents of universities for the past couple of months now speak up in front of the Supreme Court, and they tried their best to be in defense of the students using their First Amendment rights, but they ended up alienating their Jewish students. And so I think that the university professor here at Columbia might have gone too far in the opposite direction, closing the campus out, inviting armed guards to campus. It's difficult because if she felt like she couldn't do that, if she felt like she didn't do that, she might have been at risk of losing her job. Yeah.
Let me see if Colin has Comrade Colin, do you have a question for?
Yes. Earlier, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
earlier you basically said that, you know, you don't see this anti-Jewish thing that, you know, a bunch of these folks in media and elsewhere are portraying. So why do you think, what's your impressions of why so many people want to kind of label these protests as being anti-Jewish?
Well, that's the history of protests, demonizing the protesters, making it seem like the situation is worse than it actually is. I can't get into the idea of why.
Exactly.
And I can't get into the head of the opposition as to why they would want to do that, other than to sow the seeds of chaos and discord amongst folks who, we're an Ivy League institution. Folks are used to debate and listening to each other speak. We should be.
That's just how it should be.
That's just exactly how it should be.
I went here. I went to the Jones School.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Nice. See?
I'm on that junk here too.
It's so unfortunate, you know. But again, I think that we are in a place nationally where we don't have the stomach for nuance. We don't have the time or the patience for nuance. And a conversation like this, and atrocities that are going to be faced by the United States and the rest of the world for decades to come, we need to get back to a sense of clear, respectful debate, absorbing nuance, absorbing correct information, and striving towards creating a better place together.
Right.
All right. So thank you. Here is my card. Hit me up and I'll send you the clip once it's downloaded later.
Thank you so much.
Take your time. Hey, so you heard it. Let me, while I find some other students, I know you wanted to talk about the pressure that is also coming from some of the big donors, right? I know you mentioned
that. Well, yes. So we know, right? Like right now we have a kind of bipartisan agreement in Congress that they will basically support Netanyahu's genocide. I think in this moment is pretty clear, right? The influence of big money in politics. But I think we should also really look at the influence of big money, you know, with this whole thing with the colleges too. We know that back with the Claudine Gay situation with Harvard that we had, well, it was Bill Ackerman, you know, he was one of the big billionaires who was basically pressuring Claudine Gay to say more. But I saw an interesting article as well by former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich, and he was naming these other billionaire donors like Kenneth Griffin, who was a hedge fund guy, Seth Plummer, and another hedge fund guy. And he also mentioned like Lloyd Blankfein from Goldman Sachs. So, like, you know, a couple of the students there also talked about, you know, the Columbia present being between this rock and a hard place, because the other hard place is the threat by big money to withhold the nations from the university. So that is something we need to focus on more. But I think you have somebody else.
No, I'm reading actually, this is something from The Independent, which is a British publication. And Robert Kraft, a major Columbia University donor, said he was pulling funding to the school because he is, quote, no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff, end quote. You know, very incendiary type statement.
Right.
And that if, as I'm telling you, if you come here and you walk on the campus, you'll be thinking, you know, what world is he really describing, you know?
Right. I mean, I think that might be, if I was to suggest to some of the student protesters, that more scrutiny is going to have to be put on these type of folks who they use their money and their influence, right, to put us in this situation. Because on both ends we see, you know, the Democrats are usually hammering the Republicans when it's a gun violence issue about them being in the pockets of, you know, the NRA or whatever. But here in this particular case, we have Democrats, right, who are being silent while over 30, at least 34,000 people we know are dead in Gaza. Yeah. And they are silent while that is going on. And then we had President Biden the other day talking about the alarming rise of anti-Semitism. It's not alarming that we have at least 34,000 people dead and counting, and we still send in the monster who's doing this, weapons labeled made in the USA.
Right. That's like sort of a diversionary tactic as well. And as the student we just spoke to just said, you can understand the history of the suffering of people in Israel without having to cancel out the ongoing suffering of Palestinians. And I like the way you said that there's no tolerance for nuance at all. It has to be a strictly black and white situation, as George Bush infamously put it once, you're either with us or you are against us. Part of the difficulty in getting students to speak openly is because obviously they're concerned in terms of how sometimes what they say is twisted. So they've developed a media team. They've developed a media team, and they're very strict. They're very strict in. They're very strict in how and who gets to speak. So, why don't I put you on hold for a second? And you can continue the discussion in terms of the pressure that they're putting on all these universities from the donors. And I'll rejoin you in about a minute.
Okay. Well, again, I would just say to, you know, the listeners and whoever else is listening, students, whoever, that It's a serious thing right now with how big money is, you know, they're corrupting politics. Now we see a situation where, you know, they're going to be corrupting our colleges and universities, because a university is supposed to be one of the major places where you are supposed to be able to discuss anything, any kind of difficult topic, right? And so now with the whole hearing that they had the other day with Columbia president, as well as the past one before with Claudine Gay and McGill from Penn State and or Con Bluth from MIT, what you see to a lot from the Republican side too, is that they're using this particular opportunity now to push, you know, to push for a kind of censorship. A lot of these Republicans, I really feel that, you know, there's too much liberalism or whatever, that these, you know, these colleges are like bastions of liberalism and this type of thing. So what, like, I'm seeing now is both the Democrats and the Republicans, right? The main thing going on here that both of them are doing for the donors is that, you know, the donors putting money in their pockets, right? And so in that respect, both of them, they're going to do what AIPAC wants. But the Republicans now, they're using this opportunity now to go after these colleges that they believe are already too liberal and to push like a censorship thing. And the Democrat side, I think, you know, they are very worried. I think that the comments that were made by the president on Sunday is because a lot of them, I believe, thought that these protests would have already ceased, right? And so every minute that passed, we're getting closer to the November election, right? And so on the Democrat side, I think what they also want to do now, is to try to bring in this whole, charge of anti-Jewish hate to silence the protesters, because I think they're more worried that a lot of these young people are going to be, you know, influencing other young people in terms of the coming election. And I see that we are at the bottom of the hour. So Engineer Reggie, maybe you should give us a little musical interlude.
All right. So before we do that, could I just get a quick comment from another student here, maybe, before we take the break?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, 1 second. Okay, what is your name?
My name is Batu Buyerbeski, and I'm a student, senior student here at Columbia.
Okay, very good. So this is Milton, and my co-host is Colin Benjamin at the studio, WBII Black Star News Show. What are your thoughts on the protest? I guess this is the seventh day now, I understand.
That is correct. It is the seventh day. I think that the initial sort of purpose of the protest was for Columbia to divest from the events that are unraveling currently in Palestine, or Gaza, more specifically. I think that the general idea is to prevent Colombia from sort of making investments in things that could be perceived or actually are considered to be a genocide. And so I think that the protests more generally have been very peaceful. Although, you know, there have been certain students that have come out and said that there is a specific set of anti-Semitic comments that have come out of these protests. But I think that we typically conflate a specific protest to a specific sentiment or a specific sentence or phrase and conflate that to the whole protest. I don't necessarily think that the whole protest represents some things that are completely anti-Semitic. I think that general divestment and calling for a ceasefire currently in Gaza is not necessarily anti-Semitic inherently. So I think that generally the protest is good. I think that students expressing their speech and asking for a ceasefire, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Yeah.
Do you think the university could have handled it in terms of the administration, handled something differently, or something could have been done in a different way?
Definitely. I think that arresting students on their campus and retroactively changing policies is not the right way. I believe that students do have a right to speak their mind. Obviously, there is a line, and that line being discriminatory speech or hate speech. But again, the administration sort of conflated, specific things that were said by specific individuals, some even from outside of campus, to the whole protest itself. And so they arrested around 105 or 108 students. And I think that that generally was not the right way of addressing things. I think rather having security sort of be trained on what is specifically anti-Semitic, or teaching or telling students what is specifically anti-Semitic would be the best way forward, and having security sort of draw the line in a more communal perspective, having security members protect the protesters while also hearing out some of the sort of claims that students have been having with regards to anti-Semitism. So I think that generally, arresting students is really not the right way of doing so. And arresting students because they violate school policy, because the policy says that if you are arrested, you must, you will essentially violate school policy, is like an endless cycle. It's sort of like, a retroactive sort of policy statement that was not, I think just in any way. I think that the admin more generally did not necessarily sort of address the situation correctly.
All right. Thank you so much for your thoughtful words. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Colin Benjamin, so you heard it from another student, and it's good to get these thoughtful comments from students.
Yes.
In a very balanced way, the kind of balance that seems to be missing when it comes to some part of the administration. So I know you're getting ready to go to that musical break, so why don't you take it from there?
till the philosopher, which old one raised superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently discredited.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to the second half hour of Black Star News Show. WBAI 99.5 FM New York. Also streaming on WBAI.org. This is Milton Alimadi. I'm reporting today from the campus of Columbia University, where the protest is going on.
I'm reporting. And I think here, and brother, I think here, again, we should point out this is why WBAI is important, right? Because
Without a doubt. And in fact, I was going to get into that, but why don't you kick it for a minute and then I will also.
No, because I'm saying now we have you there, right? Giving us, you know, like a bird's eye view of what's going on, and talking to a lot of these students, a lot of these man media people have been ignoring these protests for all these months and pretending like it's not going on.
Now, not only that, I was debating whether I should go to my vault and get out my bulletproof vest before I came out here, you know, only to find no connection at all, the total disconnect between what you get in corporate media and between what is going on here on the campus of Columbia University. And of course, the main reason why we bring this up is because, listeners, we really cannot do this without your support. That is why this station is very important. I know we keep asking you over and over again, but that's just how the way this station operates. We don't get a huge sponsorship money or huge ads, that of course come with their kind of restrictions. You see, this is a people-supported, listener-supported station. And that's why we can bring you raw coverage, uncensored, like what you're getting today. So continue to support us and be generous. We would be very happy if, as a result of today's show, we can get maybe even up to 5 buddies. Become a buddy, become a Black Star News buddy before the show is over. You could dial 212-209-2950 and support WBAI, or become a buddy. And you can do that by going to give and then the number 2 and WBAI.org. Support your favorite listener-supported station so we continue to speak truth to power. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that. Colin Benjamin.
I just echo everything you say. And again, the number 212-209-2950.
All right, so let me see if I can get, as I said, they are very strict in terms of who they're allowed to speak to the media. And they want you to speak to the people that are trained to speak to media. And I told them, no, I do not want to speak to people that are trained to speak to media. I want to speak to people that have come here because they want to express their unvarnished views and thoughts on this protest. So that's why it's not been that, you know, easy to get people randomly to just speak. They have a very tightly organized media team, which I can understand why.
based on in terms of how some of this reporting is coming out. But I will be able to get a few more. So, Colin, I will go off line for about 30 seconds, and the floor is yours while I try to get somebody else to speak to.
So while he's doing that, once again, I will just go back to saying the station needs your support. The main number, the pledge number, 212-209-2950. You can also do the BAI Buddy, which is a recurring monthly thing where you can take out, you can take it out to your credit card, debit card, and you know, whatever your amount to support the station. And for those of you who like what we do with the Black Star News Show and you think there's value in what we do, we would ask you to consider us to be a buddy for Black Star News Show. But again, it's about the station. You know, we're living in capitalism and, you know, nothing is free. You know, the rent ain't free. You know, the call center services are not free. We have to pay for the tower fund.
You, comrade.
No, go ahead.
A student here who wants to speak, but you know, she's very frank that Colombia has actually been sort of cracking down. So she's happy to speak anonymously without giving her name, and I told her that's fine. So let's see, give us your views on the ongoing protest.
Yeah, I think all I'd have to add is that it's very peaceful within the camp and on campus, and the message it's a peaceful protest. So
what year are you?
I'm a second year. Yeah.
Is the number to call. While we wait for Milton to get somebody else. Again, you know, we live in, like I was just saying a minute ago, we live in a capitalist state. Nothing is free. And we all know, especially since COVID, you know, inflation, you know, has gone through the roof. So we understand that, you know, there's many of us struggling to pay all of the bills and everything. But, you know, regular listeners to WBAI know, right, that there's not another institution like this anywhere where you could get the diversity of programs, you know, the expert analysis that you can get from so many shores, right? And in this particular time now, this time of disinformation, you know, we need this station more than ever. People who might have tuned into our show, I think the last show, you know, heard me talk about that I had been involved in a couple of, you know, what I call community conversation type stuff. And some of what I was hearing from people, you know, regarding Donald Trump in particular, was just stunning to me. Not so much that within some of these conversations that a bunch of people were saying, rah, rah, Trump, or anything like that, but it was more the general sense that a lot of them are just not aware, right, of the danger that we're in this moment. And, you know, what's also troubling is that, you know, we have a corporate media that, you know, they just, most of the time, they just won't tell certain truths. And we know that WBAI, this station, is a truth teller.
All right, so
Colin, I've found another student who also will speak without giving her name. And I told her that's fine because, you know, another student said that earlier, that they're concerned with how the administration has been dealing with some students. So that's fine. You know, without your name, what year are you? And what are your thoughts on the protest, which I understand this is the seventh day so far?
Any news?
Yeah, actually, I'm sorry. I don't know if I want it. I'm really sorry about that.
Understood. No problem. So you heard it live on air, right?
Well, and you see, though, let me talk about the chilling. Let me just say this, the chilling effect.
Yeah, it's amazing because when I, you know, she said fine. But then when I asked the question, you know, her eyes literally froze. I've never seen anybody's eyes freeze. And then the mouth also froze. And I could tell within 10 seconds that no word was going to come out of her mouth.
See, no, but this,
talk about that chilling process, man.
No, because, again, we're talking about college students, right? College is probably the place, more than any place else, that we should expect people to engage difficult topics, right? And so when we have a situation where college students are afraid to speak their mind, and then, you know, we have a lot of these people that I was telling us about, you know, First Amendment and all of this, this should be disturbing a lot of us when college students are afraid to speak, right? You know, and it's funny how it's this particular issue, right? In so many other cases, you know, people could talk about all kind of stuff, but somehow with this particular issue, right, you know, people are being silenced, people are losing their jobs. You know, we had this same congressional thing a couple of days ago where, you know, they're talking about the hate, and several of these people are people who, you know, they didn't have anything, they didn't have a problem with stuff like the Charlotte.
Yeah. I think there's a student here who wants to share his views. So let's see this. 1 second. So this is WBI 99.5 FM New York, also streaming on WBI.org. I'm Milton Alimadi. What is your name and what year are you at Columbia?
Raheem. I'm a researcher here at Columbia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So would you like to share your own thoughts on this protest, which is now on its seventh day, I believe?
Yes. So
you know, generally, in terms of the objective, in terms of how the administration has dealt with it, and any other thoughts?
So I'll tell you this. I was away last week, and from what I've seen versus what I've seen, how I've seen it portrayed versus what I've seen by looking at it myself, is a world of difference.
Tell me about it. Talk a little bit about that, because I got that impression too when I came here today.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a beautiful day. People are being peaceful on a lawn, just hanging out. And that's the opposite of what it's been portrayed as. It's been portrayed as much, much more hateful. And people are trying to rile it up more than it actually is. I think it's a bunch of students who stand for something and want to say what they believe, and I think they should be allowed to. And I think it's a disgrace that the administration did what they did the other day. And I'm happy that they are continuing with what they're doing.
Thank you so much for your very thoughtful thoughts and comments. There you have it. I mean, he said exactly what I told you when I first got here, right?
Mm-hmm.
That nobody's being chased. Nobody's being so. The Fox
but
News
see,
guys,
okay.
Where,
so here's the other.
Where
here's the other. So let's not just blame Fox alone. Let's not just blame Fox
maybe,
alone.
Maybe maybe people are behaving because WBI is here today. Do you think that's it?
Listen, man. Let's not just blame Fox alone. All of these corporate media entities, they could have people doing exactly what you are doing. They got all of the resources, right? We're just here, you know, pitching and trying to make people understand why WBI is Georgia, they got all of the resources. They're going to send a team of reporters to do just what you're doing. But for months, they've been even acting like we don't see anything happening, right? And so,
I mean, I saw one of the blurbs from Fox News, you know, anti-Israel protests at Colombia, something like that. Yeah. It's amazing. They're slandering all
these students. We know what they're going to do. We know what they're going to do. But the so-called responsible reporters and media.
I agree with you.
I mean, where are they? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. And, you know, I remember a couple of weeks ago I mentioned this to you. My students at John Jay, before the beginning of one of my classes, I said, you know, I know many of you have thoughts on the conflict. You want to speak about what's going on in Gaza. So I'll spend maybe 5 minutes before we start the regular class. Mm-hmm. And three students raised their hands and they spoke. Right. And then the class about 25 students. And I said, how many of you would actually like to say something, but you're afraid of what might happen or in terms of retaliation or how it could be misconstrued? And almost the entire class, you know, students raised their hands. So that's the situation.
And that connects with what happened with the one person who agreed and then wouldn't speak. This is a serious thing that we should be addressing.
It's amazing. I mean, the fear, I've never seen such fear in a person's eyes, you know, standing right in front of me, completely froze. But listeners, once again, this is your favorite listener-supported station. And I know sometimes it gets tiring to hear us again and again reminding you that we can only bring you this type of coverage with your support, but it's absolutely 100% true. So we need to say it again and again. But what we do is, between saying it, we also do our very best to bring you the best type of coverage that we can. And we hope that you support us so we continue to do that. So once again, please do pick up your phone and dial 212-209-2950. Any contribution will support all of our programming on WBAI. But you can also adopt our show or any other show as a buddy, in which case the amount that you designate is taken out of your debit card or credit card on a monthly basis automatically. So I hope that somebody listening today will say that, I think I should become a Black Star News buddy today. And obviously, the station manager will remind us and will say, yes, Milton, today was a good day. You actually had five people who came through and became a Black Star News buddy.
Is it 54?
That will motivate Colin to do his best and even become a better reporter, not this biased, one-sided stuff that he keeps delivering on a regular basis until I remind him.
Wow. Hey, Colin, Milton?
Yes, sir.
No. Actually, I had a question, if you don't mind me asking, for Milton.
No, sure.
Yeah. So, guys, I was over at Columbia University on Saturday, and was getting some testimonies during the afternoon when the rally was over there. And I'm just curious. When I was there, there was, like, police all over. There was more police covering the 116th street entrance more than I ever have seen before. And so I wanted to ask you, Milton, how was it when you entered inside the campus?
It is like night and day. It's the opposite of what you saw.
you know, if the police, in fact, are here, they must be wearing jeans and T-shirts or something like that.
Are you serious?
They have been completely scaled down. I think on the front entrance, let me see, when I was coming in, I got in from the 170th Street entrance. On the front main entrance on Broadway, I saw a total of no more than maybe 10 police officers.
What about the gate?
That's exactly at the gate. At the gate, I think there were actually just Columbia security guards.
What?
The police officers were a little removed from the main gate itself. And as I, no more than a total of maybe 8 to 10.
So you know? Was the gate open?
So that whole blown out of proportion situation that you described is being vindicated by the fact that I'm right here at the encampment itself. And as the student, to the last two or three students, you heard their words. You know, people are just basically commiserating, having a good time and discussing the issues. You know,
amazing.
Let me say one thing really quick.
Imminent danger. I don't see it.
Amazing.
Let me say something really quick, Reggie. So I'm not down there, and I didn't go down there. But I'll say this: I heard that the Columbia president, she in part initiated that police thing. Some people say because she knew she was about to go to the Congress and face like Stefanik and these other MAGA Republicans.
And you know what the funny thing is, Colin? When I was talking to people who were part of that rally, they said almost verbatim on what you said.
Okay. So yeah. That's verification, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, the truth bears out. And listeners, that is why we need stations like WBAI, where we speak truth to power. We don't read other headlines, but we come here and see it for ourselves and then give you the headline of the story.
Absolutely.
I think that's all the time we have today. We have gone a little bit over the limit, but I think it was worth getting it from the scene. Remain Pan-African. Support WBAI and support Black Star News Show. Call in your final word, and then we close out.
Support WBAI.
See you next week.
WBAI listeners and supporters.
If you appreciate interacting with members of the WBAI local station board, tune in Tuesday, April 23rd
from 7 p.m.
to 8 p.m. for the first report of 2024
from the WBAI local station board.
This month, you'll be introduced to some of the LSB officers and the PNB directors.
They'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI.
Don't let this opportunity pass you by.
So mark that date on your calendar.
Tuesday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. for the first report of 2024 from the WBAI local station board.
Only on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming live at WBAI.org.
And the previous program was Black Star News, and that is heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. And before we go into the next program, which happens to be Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott, I just got word